So as many of you know, bill bugs in general have become an emerging pest across the United States, and not only there, but in North Carolina as well. About 2 years ago, Dr. Brandenburg asked me to come out and start a PhD working on just the biology and ecology of bill bug species amongst both warm and cool season turf grasses in North Carolina. A little bit of background about bill bugs and their damage. Most of the problems that we see are in warm season grasses. Although North Carolina is a transition zone state as well, we predominantly grow warm season grasses most effectively with a little bit of attempts at growing cool season grasses. We see bill bug damage looks a lot like white grub damage in that you'll see large patches of browning grass, a lot like many insects. It's most prevalent in the spring whenever the warm season grasses are breaking dormancy and you have patches that are having a little bit of trouble coming out of dormancy and greening up. And then again, late in the summer and beginning of the fall, as they're starting to slow down and they're having trouble keeping up with the damage that's occurring and outgrowing it. You can tell the difference between bill bug damage and white grub damage by reaching down at the turf and picking it up. And when you do this, it'll have no structure to it. With white grub damage, you can pull back some of the sod and it has structure to it and have soil mixed in there with it. But bill bug damage comes right up at the soil surface. You'll have no soil there at all. And that's because the larvae and the adults feed on the stolons, rhizomes, and the stems, depending upon which grass they're feeding in. So we're going to try to cover a lot of territory this morning, got a lot of different things I'd like to talk about, but some of the objectives we wanted to cover were determining the species composition in and amongst the different species of turf grass in North Carolina, also their seasonal occurrence and distribution of the life stages in and amongst the turf grass profile. We started out initially doing soapy water flushes, and that turned out to be a very ineffective technique for qualitative type sampling. So we moved very quickly to linear pitfall traps. We set up 5 foot long pieces of PVC pipe, about 2 inches in diameter. You cut a hole in the top, bury it flush with the ground, and put a collection cup at one end. We set them perpendicular to each other so that you'd be able to collect any individuals that might be moving parallel to the one particular trap or the other. We selected 4 sites representing different species of turf grass throughout the state that had a history of bill bug presence or currently were experiencing bill bug problems. We monitored on a weekly basis from March through October, and then only on a monthly basis through the winter months. And we used the key by Valerie to identify adult individuals. Our locations, if you look at the map of North Carolina from east to west, our warm season grasses move inward toward the continent with the Appalachian Mountains along the border of the state, and that's where we can most effectively grow our cool season grasses. We had a sod farm set up in Bregal, North Carolina, where zoysia grass was sampled. In Raleigh, North Carolina is a golf course type setup for Bermuda grass. Just outside of Charlotte, also in a golf course type setting with Bermuda grass. And then in the mountains, a sod farm type setup with bluegrass and tall fescue. I'll cover a couple of things because we've got several charts that look like this. The total number of individuals on the Y, the date of collection on the X. To aid in that, I've got a key up top, just looking at the seasons. In many of our sites, Spinophorus venatus, or the hunting bill bug, was by far and away the dominant species. So these graphs will represent the occurrence of hunting bill bug, where you have the total number in the line graph going across the top, and then male and female sex across the bottom with that particular location. Coming out of the winter into the spring, we have a peak of activity at the end of April, beginning of May. That tails off through the course of the summer months, but then picks back up again late July into August and peaks in September sometime before falling off again. Draw attention to the scale here on the y-axis. We had the most number of individuals at this particular site. This was in Charlotte. The scale is half that now on this graph. Same setup coming out of the winter. We had a lot of activity in the spring, tailing off through the summer, and then picking back up again toward the end into the fall. It looks like here that there are possibly 2 peaks of activity, one in July and one in September. Again, these are all hunting billbugs, and we changed the scale just so that you can get an idea of what's going on from location to location. In the zoysia grass down around the coast, again, hunting billbug was the most dominant. We only have one season of trapping data here. That's why the fall or in the winter time is not represented. There wasn't a lot of activity collected in the spring, and that may have been because the trap was still, the location was still fresh, and it may have warded off traveling across this particular location. But just like all the other spots, all activity dropped off in the summertime and picked up again dramatically in the fall. In our bluegrass plots up in the mountains, we had a significant presence of a different species. So here, instead of looking at male-female, we're looking at hunting billbug, Venatus, in the green, and the small billbug, Minimus, in the orange. A lot of activity in the spring, dropping off to no activity whatsoever in the summertime, and then picking back up in the fall before tailing off. We also have only had trapping data for this particular season. Overall, wrapping this up, we had three particular species, hunting billbug, Venatus, small billbug, Minimus, and uneven billbug. There were only trace individuals throughout all the locations of the uneven billbug, so that those were not represented in the graphs. Hunting billbug by far and away was 95% to 98% of everything that we caught. Peak activities were focused in April and May, and then again in the fall in September and October. So even though we had these graphs with adult activity, in order to get a full picture of the life cycle, we needed to figure out what was going on with the other life stages. For anybody that has tried to collect billbug larvae in general, specifically hunting billbug, they're a bit of an aberration. Adults are very common. You can find them fairly easily, trap for them fairly easily. And you would think that if you just go to the soil, you'd be able to find gobs and gobs of larvae. That's not necessarily the case. We got lucky earlier this year, and the gentleman, the owner of the sod farm down on the coast, said that he had larvae coming out of his ears. So I went down there early in February of this year, and sure enough, you could take a shovel and turn over the top inch or two of the soil, and there were larvae everywhere. So we took advantage of the situation and started sampling to try to get a complete picture of what was going on with the other life stages in the life cycle. We took 8 cup cutter samples randomly throughout this zoysia field, depending upon what looked buggy, more or less, what looked like had billbug damage in the past or in the surrounding areas, just so that we could hopefully get individuals located. Samples were processed individually by hand immediately, and the life stage was recorded with its presence in the soil profile, whether it be 6 to 4 inches deep, 4 to 2 inches deep, 2 inches to the soil surface, or the thatch layer. Larvae were quantified by small, medium, and large, since we don't have a key or to distinguish among instars. What we found were that adult individuals occurred anywhere from 3 inches deep to the thatch layer and above the ground. Most of those individuals that were below the soil were tenereal adults, so emerging from pupae, so this makes sense. Small larvae were anywhere between in the thatch and 3 inches deep. Medium were thatch layer to 4 inches deep. Large larvae, 0 to 6 inches. It was a rare occasion to find an adult, a large larvae at 6 inches deep, but it did occur. That's the reason why we sampled so deep. And then pupae were 2 to 4 inches. A couple of things I want you to notice about this particular figure. This is a combination of the pitfall trap data and the cup cutter sample data. So the adult presence here is only a measure of activity, not necessarily of presence. More than likely, adults are present during the winter months, it's just that they are not active. And all the rest are a measure of presence as well. There are two distinct generations. You can see gaps in the generations here in the spring and then later in the fall with medium-sized larvae overwintering. And I don't know if overwintering, they don't necessarily go into diapause, because when we were there in early February, we were finding these larvae feeding in the thatch layer above the soil. and it was 45, 50 degrees in the middle of February. So this was truly a unique event and an amazing find. And there were, with all of this going on, we thought we would take advantage of this, the presence of all these life stages, and try a long shot looking at timing for control. We used a single product, a single rate, and looked only at the application time. We were using Electus at its maximum label rate at 4.5 pints per acre. Looked at timing in early May, mid-June, early August, and mid-September. And then, not necessarily a split application, but a dual application. So the rate was the same in both May and September for this last particular replication. We evaluated the adults and the mature, immature stages present. And this was done 3 weeks after the very last one. So this is the first week of October. The average number of individuals are on the Y graph, the Y axis. The control was significantly different from all applications done in September, whether it be a dual or a single application, with no significant difference with the applications in May, June, and August. The immatures showed significant difference in all of the applications in the control, but this is a little bit misleading because at this particular time of the year when we were sampling, there weren't a lot of larval or immature stages present overall. So that's not necessarily a representation of control, but just lack thereof, presence of immatures overall in the site. There are a couple of things that we'd like to do within the next year. And I'd like to thank those individuals that cooperated. Thank you.